This evening I would like to talk about zeal for your house, the zealous spirit. And I would like to talk about how do you stay zealous for God. And I'm going to say in Afrikaans now, hoe bly jy ywerig vir die Here? How do you stay zealous? How do you not get tired in just having that fervor for God? So that is what we're going to talk about this evening. And the question is, how do we stay zealous for God? The first thing, and the most important thing that I want you to remember for this evening is, you must understand how God feels about you. You must understand God's jealousy for you. Just look at how God introduces a part of him to Moses. He says to Moses in Exodus chapter 34 verse 14, "For you shall not worship any other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." It's interesting that God calls himself jealous, isn't it? Joshua chapter 24 verse 19, Joshua says to the people, "Then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins." But we must have an understanding of how God feels about us. There's nothing that God will not do for you if you follow him, because he's a jealous God. It's a fierce desire inside of him to protect me and to protect you. And that is how God operates. It's a passionate commitment that he has towards each and every one of us. A passionate commitment. Do you know why he does have that passionate commitment towards me and you? Because we rightly belong to him. Nobody else has ever died for us. Nobody. I'll explain it this morning. Jesus, God came to earth, incarnate Jesus, died on the cross for us, rose again. And as long as anybody else is not willing to do that for the whole human race, I worship nobody but God alone. And so I want you to see that how God feels about us. God seeks exclusive loyalty from me and you when it comes to matters of principle and when it comes to worship. Do you know, if some brother starts flirting with my wife, I'll confront him. We see jealousy in a negative context, but I'll go up to him. I'll tell him, "Listen, your brother, this is my wife. What's the story here? I'm not here to talk to you about anything else or hitting you. I just want to know what just, this is my wife. She's mine. I'm jealous over her." It's not a bad jealousy. I'm not talking about a bad emotion where I must not chug the man or I don't give my wife room to talk to other people. I'm talking about a place where she knows that I'm not here to hana-hana with her, you know. I'm not here to play, you know, the fool with her. I'm serious about this, and she needs to know that I'm serious. You know, it's funny. I talk to so many people when they're in relationships. It's always the woman that want to know from me and Elmery, "Now, why does it take so long? Is he serious about me? Can't he just say something that I will know if he's for me or if he's against me, you know? Can't I just tell him, look, I love you, I like you." Then we tell him, "No. He must pursue you." But you know where that intense desire comes from? That intense desire comes from, you know, "I love you, I like you, you're mine. There's so much that I will do for you. You don't understand that." And then sometimes it's really difficult to tell some ladies, "Just drop it. For now, this man is not interested in you. He's interested in other things." And then you can see how their faces look. And then they think, "Oh Lord, I already planned my wedding year. I thought of how I was going to worship with this ring in my finger. Blessed assurance. You know, I really figured that out in my mind, but now he's not interested in me. God, ever am I going to get married? God, I'm already 21. Oh, I'm getting old, God. Oh, I can't take it, Lord. Look at my wrinkles. Oh, church, you know, and then we have to tell them, look, you drop it. But it's an intense desire that God placed inside of us. Now, imagine how God feels about you, man. There's nothing that He will not do for you. If you stay in His plan for Him, He will protect you. If necessary, He will avenge you. When people are unfaithful to Him, He will even discipline us. And so many people have a problem with discipline. We discipline our children. Our youngest daughter, she is about 1 year and 6 months. Oh, I'm right. Just thought. 1 year and 6 months old. Now, she learned somewhere that if she cries, then she can get everything and anything. And so this afternoon, we just started dropping her in a cot. If she starts crying for no reason, we take her, then we put her in the cot. Then we tell her, you can cry, but we're leaving now. You know, why do we have to do that? If we're not doing this now, when she grows up and she works in any environment, she's going to be one of those people that always just throws tantrums. Have you ever worked with people like that? When they don't get what they want, they throw tantrums at work. And then you think, what a grown-up in a child's body. You know? And so we're teaching her that. And it's, I love her too much to allow that to happen to her. So I'm disciplining her now. She doesn't understand it, but she'll get to grips with it. Are you with me? Discipline. I'm doing it in faith, and God disciplines us. And sometimes God's character will even judge those who comes against these people. He will avenge them. A fearful God. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13 to 15. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. So Jesus declares to his disciples, look, you are my friends. I will lay my life down for you. And Jesus proved it. He laid down his life for the whole earth, for sinners and for the disciples. But he called his disciples friends. And if you want to know a biblical definition of what friendship is, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, the first part, it says, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. And Jesus, the Apostle James, writes in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, he says, you adulterers and adulterers, you know, friendship with the world, it's enmity with God. You're an enemy of God if you have friendship with the world. And what he was saying is, sorry, if the things of the world are more important than God himself, then you're making yourself an enemy of God. But I'm saying this to you just to tell you where God comes from. I'm explaining this to you so that you can know how God feels about you. And sometimes we think God is really unnecessary to allow certain things to happen. But I can promise you that is His best for you. At most. All the time. Because He's a righteous King. And so we don't understand it. But it's their jealousy and their love for us that will allow God to do things that's beyond comprehension. Are you with me? And so when Jesus says to his disciples, look, you're my friends, then they know what he says he means. Jesus declares his allegiance to friends. Now, really important for the season that we're going in, for the songs that we're going to start singing. I told the worship team, we must start singing songs about God's love for us. Just for a while, we must stop singing about how we love God. Because, as I've said, we don't actually know sometimes what we say when we sing to Him, we love you, we love you, we love you. And most of the love that we experience is a pop culture, you know, pop song love, you know. In the pop songs. These songs that you hear on Good Hope FM, you know. Macy, Macy. You know? baby chocolates, you know. We want to come with that love to God, a baby chocolate's love. But you can't relate to God in a baby chocolate's love. Because He's not your baby chocolates. He's God. It's like a moth. A moth likes the candle. Then he goes to the candle. Then all the moth's friends shout, "Don't go to the light." Or like in that cartoon, you know, that purple beams, those fluorescent lights. When you said, "I pers liggies in die nag, how would you so braai, I wouldn't it." Now it's like that. We go to God and we come to Him. Oh, and we wanna approach that glorious light. And so you can't approach the glorious holy light of God with a disrespectful manner. Just like the moth, or just like the fly or the mosquito, you'll just hear if you disrespect God. And then sometimes God just needs to step back and say, "These people, they didn't understand how I feel about them. So what I am going to do now, I'm not going to expose myself to them. I'm not going to go in all my glory to them. Because some of them may just get hurt. They don't understand how I feel about them. There's an intensity for me, for them." And I can tell you, my dear ladies, there's an intensity in God's heart for you. And some of us, we just take it for granted. We just think, I'll approach Him the way I want to approach Him. And I'll say things to Him the way I think it's proper. And it can't work like this. But now, we are going to sing songs about that. And this is now really important. We live in a culture that tells us, if somebody makes much of you, then you're loved. We live in a culture where if somebody makes much of you, then you're loved. Now, you can't approach God like that. God makes much of me, then I'm loved. You know the song that we sing, "Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His mercy." Now, as we sing that, "Oh, how He loves us," it's so easy to start worshiping yourself because God loves you. The reason why God tells us that He loves us, that He's excited about us, is because He wants us to tell Him, "You're the best. You're our King. You love me so that I can worship you." So, if God tells us how much He loves us, it is so that we can enjoy worship with Him. We must be careful not to admire ourselves when we worship God. It's a really important thing that we need to get right. You know, this is now for all the men and all the ladies. You know, when you're at the beach and you see Him with that dangerous six-pack, and He's got now all the lotion over Him, and He smiles at you. Ooh, and it seems like you can ballet. You know? When you look at Him, and He just does it for you, you're in awe because of the picture that you see in front of you. When He looks at you, you don't think, "Ooh, me. Ooh, I am." You know, when you look at a beautiful sunset, the sunset and the nature has you in awe. You think, "Wow, this is so beautiful." It's the same with God. The only problem is when it comes to church, we see God and then we think, "Ooh, us. Oh, I'm so important. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, it's about me." But we don't see the beautiful and the beauty, which Scripture says, worship God in the beauty of His holiness. And it's so important. So when we're going to start singing that songs, remember we're singing it to a King. Oh, how He loves us. But He's saying this to me so that I can worship Him. So, bless you, Trish. Second thing, if you want to stay zealous, you must be about the Father's business. Just give you the context. Jesus' family, they left Jerusalem. Jesus is about 12 years old now. And so after a few days' travel, Mary says, "Where's Jesus?" And then somebody says, "Jesus, Jesus." And then they don't find Jesus. So now Jesus is gone. Woo, Jesus is gone. Now they go back to Jerusalem. And then when they come to Jerusalem, they find Jesus in the temple. Then Mary and Joseph says, "Jesus, you can't just run around like this. We were worried. We were looking for you the whole day." And then Jesus tells them in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus says, and he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" If you want to stay zealous for God, if you want to stay connected with God, you need to be about the Father's business. What is God's business for your life? And what is God's business for the church? Where's God now? And Jesus says, I must be about the Father's business. Do you see that in that scripture? Jesus has confidence in God. I must be about, must be. Jesus is assertive and bold. I must be. My Father has an intimate relationship with the Father and business. He has a unique vision and a mission that Jesus must follow. So we stay connected to the Father's business. We don't do things outside of the Father's business. It will make you tired. You know, it will just wear you down. You'll get irritated. You'll get frustrated. You know, I can't pray for everybody. I can pray for some people, but I can't pray for everybody. I can't worry about everybody. Are you with me? Obviously, there's a burden that you feel for nations. There's a burden that you feel for people. But if I have to please everybody, I'll be dead by the end of this month. Because you have to work according to the plan that the Father has given you. You must work according to the Father's business for your life. 3, you must preach Christ crucified. Just Galatians chapter 4 verse 18. "But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you." Just want to explain the context with you. The context of Galatians is very simple. Some of the Jews that gave their lives to the Lord, they went back to the traditional system. So now they went back to offering lambs, and they had the Shabbat meals. And now you can't call Jesus Jesus anymore. You have to call him now Yeshua. So they went back to the rituals, to all those rituals. And the Apostle Paul is just telling me, look here, those guys, they want to make disciples of you, but to follow them and their religion and their rituals, it's not good. It's not good. You must follow Christ, and from their good works will emanate. In other words, if your heart's right with the Lord, your good deeds will be good. Out of a good relationship flows good fruit. Are you with me? A good relationship with my wife will reflect in the way that we live. A bad relationship with my wife will reflect in the way that we live. And so Paul is saying, look, you can't go back to all these rituals. That's not why I came to you. I preach Christ crucified. Nothing else. I only preach that. The cross. Then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I betroth you to one husband, so that to Christ I must present you as the pure virgin." Symbolic. It's all symbolic. But the Apostle Paul says, you know what? I'm so jealous for you. I'm praying for you and I'm standing in faith for you. And I want you, you know, to know that my heart is for you. It's not against you. And if you want to understand the picture of God, God always presents himself in Scripture, always, sometimes, not always, sometimes, as a husband. And then God will always say, my people, they are unfaithful to me. And I will judge them. But then God also says, as the husband, everybody mess with my people. Come, you mess now with my wife. Then you'll see a part of me, like Jesus said, you mess with my church, I'll show you something. You mess with my church. And that's the heart that the Apostle Paul has. I was telling the story last week about a young man that wanted, not a young man, but a man that wanted to marry a lady in our church. And I just had this niggle in my spirit that this man was a wolf. And I talked to the lady's mother and this lady, and I told her, Luke, I'm not at ease in marrying you. You know, I'm really not at peace with this. But they insisted on, and it's one of those things where I just said, okay, I'll marry you, but please, if things get really, really, really hot before you get married, get out of this marriage. Get out of this thing, drop everything. And so it's one of those things because, you know, we fight for relationships. So sometimes, just like God, not always, sometimes just like God, I would do stuff for people just to show them that they don't really need that. Just like God. Just the example. Israel wanted a king. And so God said, okay, you want a king, then I'll give you Saul. You want Saul as the king, I'll give King Saul to you. And it took Israel 40 years just to see the mistake that they made. And so sometimes, just for the sake of relationship, I'll tell people, okay, I'll back off. Do as you wish. I'll try and run with you with this thing, but from where I'm standing, I can see this thing is not going to work. And it was so. So what do? The intensity of this thing, it just gave me and my wife sleepless nights. So we prayed. I just said, God, you expose this man's heart. God, he's a wolf. He's here to take this lady out. And God, I don't like this. And God, I don't feel like marrying them. But God, for the sake of relationship, I want to do this for them. But God, you intervene and you deal with this decisively. God, and you come against him. And God, you judge the situation. 2 days before they got married, this man robbed the lady. Here in Parker Street with a knife. And so he was in jail. So the mother and she came to me and, you know, you're very tempted those times to say, I told you so, but I didn't. And so I just left and said, okay, she's in debt, you know, and you know the humiliation. Now, what do you tell this poor little girl? So he was phoning me, hey, I must come fetch you. I just thought, no, you stay there. You're a wolf. That cage is for you. You know, you're a wolf. You're here to exploit the pain. You're here to exploit a wee girl. Give it, as they say in Afrikaans, jy is hier om 'n gat in 'n kop te praat. And so that is just how I feel about people and about church. And so as he came out, I sat with him, I talked with him. I told him, look here, there's a way out for you here. You need to speak to the elders of the church. I'm not going to speak to you again. You need to repent of your sins. You need to repent of your lies. And then after you've done that, we will appoint somebody that can walk a road with you. And then you must be accountable to that person for everything. And so he said yes. And he had a meeting with the elders, and the elders that was there was Mbuti and Mopi and Peter and Paul. Paul's not yet. They talked with him. And afterwards, when I talked to the elders, I asked the elders, look here, so what? The first thing that the elders told me, look here, this guy, he's a scary man. We must be really careful. And so I knew the Holy Spirit was onto something here. It's not just something out of my flesh, of my vindictiveness, because it wasn't. It was something that the Holy Spirit was teaching me about the jealousy just for his church and for his people. And so after he left, we never saw him again after he spoke with the elders. But I'm trying to show to you that protecting his people and preaching Christ is something so crucial to these last days. And then we must have an understanding that we were saved by grace. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good work. We're God's special people. But we must have an understanding that we were saved by grace. There's nothing that I can do that can save myself. praying more won't save me. Singing louder than you guys won't save me. Doing a few beautiful dance moves won't save me. The pastor or the dominie or my leaders, they can't save me. Jesus can. Christ, He died. And Scripture teaches a very beautiful thing. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Isn't that beautiful? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is why Jesus will never, ever, ever, ne? Is it right, Bob? Ever. Ne? Properly. Bob said we must speak properly. You know, that is why Jesus will never come to you and talk to you about your sin. Jesus will always look you in the eye. Then He will talk to you about your potential. He will always tell you what He thinks of you and He thinks highly of you. And then there is that goodness of God that will lead you to repentance. God always does it that way. We do it the other way around. This is the problem with you, and this is wrong with you, and this is why people don't like with you, and now you must meet Jesus. Now, if somebody came to me like that, I would also not want to meet Jesus, because it's a negative, narcissistic Jesus. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus comes and He looks in the eye and He tells you, look, you're precious to me. You know what, my child, you're wasting your life. You know how much potential there is inside of you. Do you know why I created you? Do you know how jealous I am for you? Do you know the plan that I have for you? You can't even imagine the plans that I have for you. Do you know how I long to take you by your right hand side of your face? And just put your head against my bosom so that you can hear my heartbeat. Do you know how I feel about you? And that is out of that place that you just say, God, I'm a sinner. God, I'm a bad person. You save me. I think we'll stop there. Enough said. We preach Christ crucified. It's not a method. It's not a style. It's not a style of worship. It's not a method. It's not a style of singing. You know what was a blessing? Just, you can black out there, Wani. Thanks, man. What are we going to sing next, David? Yahweh. It's cool. We're going to sing that song. But you know what? This evening for me, we sang a lot of hip songs. God really enjoyed our praise. But the roof lifted off when we sang that old hymn, Blessed Assurance. The roof just lifted off. So it's not about a style. It's not, hey, the hip. Hey, but because God, we recognize where God moves and we recognize Him for what He wants to do because He's Yahweh. And so my heart this evening is that you will meet Christ. Not a church. It's important to belong to a church. It's important to be connected to the body. You must be connected to the body of Christ. You cannot be a loner out there somewhere. You'll get hurt. There's too many wolves out there and divisive people and angry people that will want to take you out. They'll prowl on weak people and they'll catch you and they'll choke you, the life out of you. They'll take everything from you. We must get into a protective environment where you can feel protected, loved, where you can feel nurtured in a place where you can grow, a place where you can voice your opinion, a place where you can be yourself, a place where you can be yourself, but also a place where you can say, look, I've been myself for 2 months now, but I'm actually wrong. I know I was wrong now. I said some stupid things, but I know I'm wrong. You must live in a place like that. It's called family. And since last year, God has been talking to us as a church, we must become family. And so in a family, everybody is welcome, but not everything can be accommodated. But everybody is welcome. And so we grow in our friendships. You know why? It just brings that zealousness for Christ as a family, as we worship and sing together, and we have an understanding of who God is and why God does and says to us what He says to us. It's unique to us. Every family is unique. And this is a unique thing about what God is doing here, in this place, at this time. It's so precious. I'll tell you. I was hearing a story this morning of Lorenzo's mom when they asked in an interview, what was the career highlight of her life? She's applying for a job at another school here, and they asked her, what is your career like? And she said something about when she was in Kimberley, 18 refugees, boys and girls, young children, war refugees, came from Angola to Kimberley. I don't know how they got there, but these children were so traumatized, they would trust nobody. And she said to the principal, I'll take them. And she explained to me how she would walk with them with a tracksuit on, you know, and they were following her. At first they didn't trust her. But after that is what's like, you know, they were walking just after. And I just thought, God, there's amazing people here. There's amazing people that has been hearing your voice all along. God, there's some people in church, they're not hearing your voice. They're not zealous for what you're zealous about. And it blessed me so, the fact that she was, and this morning, she just said, Lord, it's my turn to come to the Lord. We had 6 salvations here this morning. It was such a blessed time. And you know what? So many people's parents got saved here. I was telling Alma before I came to church, I was weeping in front of my house. I said, God, my dad, my heart burns for him. When is it his time? And I was still thinking about Almri's dad. And I was just thinking, God, there's so many people that needs to meet you. There's so many people that must just meet you. Father, please let this happen. God, it's for our parents, but not just for our parents. There's my friends. There's people that I know. There's so many people, when I look into their eyes, I can just see it's dead. They're doing all the smiles, they're happy, but if you look into their eyes, they are dead. And I wish I could sometimes just do something. But then I know if I do something, then it's about me. And then they would want to follow me. And then I must trust God to do something so that they can follow Christ. As the Apostle Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow Christ, don't follow me. If I follow my own doctrine, don't follow me. Don't come after me if I'm doing my own thing. If you're sensing that I'm arrogant and I'm proud, then you come to me and you tell me, I think you're arrogant, I think you're proud, I think you're not following Christ, then we can talk about this. But the Apostle Paul says, you follow me as I follow Christ. I say the same thing. I'll follow all of Christ. All of Him, where He's going. Can the band come up, please? Can we stand? Can we stand? We'll just end off this evening. Father, we really want to be zealous in your kingdom and zealous for you. But before anything, we want to be zealous for you. Because you died for us, Christ. You died for sinners. Lord, it's not about a person, it's not about a flow, it's not about a building, but it's about Christ. Christ crucified, Christ that died. And so Lord, there's so many appointments that you have this evening with people because you want to touch their hearts, Lord. You want to change their lives forever. You don't want them to stay the same ever again. God, and as your Spirit is bringing conviction over this place and over our hearts, and the conviction comes from that place that we know that you are an all-loving God. That will guard of His way for each and every one of us. And so Lord, our heart's desire is this evening to worship you because you love us. You're Jesus to every person here. God, you're not a statue. A picture. You're a real person. represents his heart to his heart to his people, because that intensity of the sacrifice of your son. God, reveal now your heart. You reveal your heart. You reveal your heart. As our eyes are closed, if there's anybody that wants to meet that Christ that I was talking about, please, you don't want to meet me, you want to meet him. If you want to meet that Christ that I was talking about now, that Jesus, that so intensely loves you, if you want to meet him, then I just want you to raise your hand, because I want to pray with you. There's one. Is there anybody else that would like to meet that Christ? And just come out of your comfort zone and say, God, I want to be out of my comfort zone. I want to meet you. I'm sick and tired of all the fakes and the flakes. God, I'm serious about this thing, because it's about you. And I want you to know that this is the most important part of this service. It is time for you to meet. My message is not as important as meeting Christ. I just want you to stand and think about the awesomeness of God. Just think of the fact that he came from eternity to earth for you. The perfect sacrifice. And I don't want you to think about what will other people think if I raise my hand. I want you to think about the person. Don't think about us, think about the person, Jesus. He is revealing himself to you now. I know this. I know there's people standing there and there's a tug in your heart. And you're thinking, no, I won't go. I know there's people just making those sums in your head. But you cannot deny what's happening in your heart now. You cannot deny it. Because you know why? Because that is relationship. That is relationship. It's not something that I can create. It's not something that I can buy. It's not something that I can send you. Go to Dion's or go to Game and find yourself a relationship. It's not like that. It's something undeniable within your heart. You can't explain it, but you know it's there. And it works differently. For some of us, it irritates us. For some of us, we feel ashamed. For some of us, we think, God, no. So as everybody's eyes are closed, the invitation from Jesus Christ again, would you like to meet him? There's another hand. There's another hand. Those people that raised their hand, I want you to be very bold. I want you to come to this side quickly. We want to pray with you. Then you can come in here. You can come. I just want you quickly to come. We're going to pray with you. And we're going to just appoint somebody to pray. We want to give you literature. We want to give you literature. If you're scared to come out alone, just take somebody's hand and say, come with me, please. Come with me, please. Leomi, will you take the hands? Just come with them, please. Just come with them. Can we give them a hand? Just stand here. You can look at me. Leomi, come with them. Come with them. Come with them. Sarah. We're going to pray with them. We're going to pray with them. It's such an honor, you know. If this, just keep our eyes closed. Just keep our eyes closed. Just keep our eyes closed. I'm just sensing there's a man here. You've been humiliated so many times, and it just breaks your heart. You've been humiliated by your dad, and you just feel, why doesn't anybody believe in me? Nobody believes in me. Ek word altyd afgedruk. And I just wish I even never knew my dad sometimes, you know, but I hate him, but also there's something that I want from him, but now he can't give it to me, and it just frustrates me, because I want him to say something to me that will make me feel good, but now you're not getting it, and I'm sensing God is saying it, he wants to give it to you. Is there a man or men like that here? We also want to pray with you so that God can just start with this process. Is there any men like that there? Would you like to raise your hands, please? We want to pray with you. I don't want you to be disobedient. I just want to say, God, and if you have to come for a second or a third time, if it's the third time that this has been happening, then you just raise your hand and then you just say, God, I'm coming here for the third time, but this thing is making me so tired. I mark my moch, my ek valifan. Is there any man like that? Everybody's eyes closed, please, just out of respect. If you need to come back to God and say, God, I've just walked away from you. And I can tell you now, if you've walked away from God, He's still standing there. He will never walk away. He will wait for you. He will wait for you. Is there any man like that? I'm really having this strong sense within my heart. And I'm just sensing God just saying, just drop your pride and come. He's an all-loving dad. He's an all-loving dad. He will kick down, you will never kick down your door. Want die handvatsel van hy deurtjies in die binnenkant by jou. Hy doen maar net die klopwerk. Jy moet oopmaak. You must open it up. Father, I want to pray for my beautiful sisters here this evening. And I want to say thank you for this bold step that they did. Lord, they did it in front of so many people. And God, it excites us. God, it is the few places in Scripture where you say the angels rejoice. God, there's a party in heaven now because of what they did. And God, we are excited with them. God, it's just such an exciting thing that is happening within our hearts. And Lord, we want to celebrate with them. And Father, we want to thank them. So Lord, we want to just give you a hand for the Lord and the Lord of salvation, Father. In Jesus' name. The facilitators are just going to pray with you here around the corner, and then they will give you literature and you can come out. We will be singing here, and we want to have coffee with you. We want to spend time with you. So just go with the facilitators there. Just spend some time with them. We're going to pray for them. And we're going to sing the song. If you really feel, God, I should have been here, then I want you to, as we sing the song, then you just come. We want to pray with you. We really want to pray with you. We don't want you to leave because we want you to meet Jesus. I want to say thank you to everybody. It's been a blessing to have you. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to have some coffee. We're going to sing Yahweh, Yahweh, and then we'll end off. But if you want prayer, we're here to pray with you. Thank you. You blessed people. God wants to call you His own special people. Jesus, please reign number one in this church. You always number one here in Jesus' name.